From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
What is up, everybody? I'm George Mossy. This is the George Mossy Show. This is the Pop Culture Podcast. This is episode 6 of season 2. Say hello to my co-host, Gina. Hi, Gina.
Oh, hello, everybody. Hi, George.
It's been a wild week. There's been a lot of things in the news, right? I don't even know what direction to go in at this point. It's been crazy. So let's talk about Danny Trejo, right? So he's everybody's favorite badass. And the internet decided to kill him this weekend. And, you know, that's scary and terrible. And, you know, death is permanent. So I really wish they wouldn't do that. But he has come online to let everyone know that he's alive and well. So isn't it crazy how the internet every now and then decides to kill people for no reason? Like, why does this happen?
I have no idea why it happens and why he didn't come out sooner, because he could have put a stop to those rumors the day of. But then he waited a few days to announce that it wasn't true. So I don't know. Maybe it's a publicity stunt to be in the public eye, but that's one thing you don't mess with is death, like, and illnesses that are long term. So that's nothing to be in the news about, right? So I know you've gone through it before with someone else that you were close to. We're not going to name names, that announced that this person had passed away. And then all of a sudden, the person reappeared like a week later. And it was just, it's hard, like, it's like, what the hell?
It's a very heartless thing to do, you know, because let's just say you were doing it for publicity, but there are friends and family who also will get this information, right? And they don't know that you might be doing it for publicity, or it might be a hoax or whatever. So they are going through a process of mourning over something that isn't even real. So I don't know. It's just weird, because this has been a normal occurrence. Like, every year, several people the internet kills, and then we find out they're alive. And it's like, why do we need to kill anyone off on the internet? People die, unfortunately, too often as it is. Like, why do we need to speed up the process? Like, it's weird and strange. But at the end of the day, Danny Trejo is still alive and well, which makes me happy, because I'm a fan of his work. He's like everyone's favorite badass. Like, he's a super badass guy, but he's also really nice, and he's done a lot of good things for people. So yeah, let's not kill off people like that. We love him.
Exactly. But at the same time, if you, like, people are text messaging you or sending messages, or to family members and friends and whatnot, there shouldn't be a gap in when you put a stop to it. It should be you do it right away, because obviously people are going to be calling friends and family members of his to be like, yo, is he okay? Type of thing like that. What happened? I just saw this on TMZ or whatever, right? That's when you put a stop to it right away, not X amount of days later or whatnot, because then the whole world's thinking that you've passed away when in reality you haven't. So I don't know why, like, you haven't addressed those, like, and put a stop to those rumors before, like, obviously a passing away and a death is serious. You should have just done it on the same day, because obviously people were concerned about your well-being on the same day and going to try to connect with you on the same day. Aren't you going to wonder, like, why are these people asking me if I'm dead?
See, I think I have a theory. Do you know, have you ever heard the term where people care about you more when you're dead than when you're alive? I think when this happens, even if it's not, like, say, for instance, they didn't particularly make it a hoax themselves, it just was a hoax that happened on its own, and they're just an innocent bystander in it. I think people really like the amount of attention you get in death. And because, you know, this, like you said, this happened to me with one of my friends. And right when I heard about it, I sent them a text message, even though they were supposed to be dead. I sent them a text message and I was like, hey, if this is true or whatever or not, I need to know. And they didn't answer me for 3 days, right? Like, for 3 days. And I called them and texted them and they didn't answer me. Then they texted me 3 days later and said, oh, it was a hoax, I'm alive. And I was like, so where were you for the past 3 days that you couldn't have done that? And what I realized was, during those 3 days, that person went from D list to, like, B list when it came to, like, people talking about them and being in the public eye. And I think that people like that huge shift in notoriety. So I think, like, even if they didn't do the hoax themselves, like, it wasn't their idea to pretend that this was real. I think when they started getting the attention that they craved, they did, they were like, well, I can put this off for a few days.
No, it's very like it's very insensitive. It just makes you think about the person differently. Like I just can't. Like obviously death is common and normal in everyday life, and we go through that. Like every one of us has been through that, someone who's close to us and whatnot. And to like to see you joke about it, to see someone like not make a big deal out of it, it just makes you lose respect. There's a better way to be in the public eye by like don't like doing a lot for charities and doing charity work and volunteering and your time and your money and your efforts. There's other positive motivations to help you be in the public eye to raise your stature. So this is just like for me, this is just off-putting.
I agree. It's low-hanging fruit and it's the worst possible way for you to get attention. Like, it's terrible. And that person that I knew that did this, we haven't spoken since. Like, I
Yeah.
have no interest in speaking to someone who would let me think that they were deceased for 3 days, right? Like, because when this happened, your phone didn't stop working. Your phone still had service, right? So you saw that I was calling and texting you. You just waited 3 days. Like, that's crazy to me. So yeah, we haven't spoken since then. And I have no interest in talking to someone who would let me believe that they were no longer living for 3 days. Like, that's crazy. Like, Jeannie, if you texted me and was like, people are online saying that you died, I would immediately text you back and say, well, I'm not dead. Because that's
Exactly.
what a normal freaking person would do, right? I wouldn't
Exactly.
ignore your text message and then go online and see what people are saying, right? Like,
Yeah.
that's crazy. I would tell you, because why would I put you through the idea or thought that that's something that's going on? Because you're like thinking, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And you're like going through a process that's not even necessary when I could just text you back, right? Like, I'm sorry, whatever. I just,
Yeah.
the internet needs to stop doing this. It's very insensitive. And then also the internet is sometimes too quick to the punch when people really do die, because I've heard a lot of stories where people will say that they found out that their loved one passed away through the internet. They didn't get like a phone call from family, or they didn't get to go to the hospital to see the person. Like, the internet sometimes is too quick to the punch with it too, because a lot of times TMZ, for instance, will report someone's death within moments, right? Within moments. Okay. And a lot of times the friends and family and people that actually know this person, they don't even know.
Don't know. They don't know.
You imagine hearing about a close loved one passing away on the radio while you're in the car or something? Like, that has to be so traumatic. Like, you're like minding your own business, going about your day, listening to the music, and then all of a sudden a commercial or whatever comes on, and then
Breaking news. Yeah.
that's scary too. So the internet is such a blessing and a curse when you think about it. It's like we have information traveling much faster than it used to, but at the same time, is that what we really want? Do we really need the information to travel that fast? Because sometimes it's too fast for our own good.
Yeah, no, but before I blow up with that death hoax, let's move on to a different topic because it's
Oh,
just
I
going to
want
piss
to talk
me
about
off.
those new iPhones and new Apple accessories. And you know, we're fans of cool shows like 90 Day Fiancé and Love Island and Love After Lockup. You know, we're friends with the cool shows, but one of the things that caught our attention with this new Apple drop are the AirPods that are live translation earbuds. So what that means is when someone is speaking to you in another language, it automatically lowers the volume of what's going on around you, and it increases the volume in your ear of what it's a translation of what they're saying to you. And Gina, the first thing I thought was, I was like, see, I have some friends that are very intelligent and they've learned multiple languages and everything. And I was like, so wait a minute, is this gonna make being bilingual like useless? Because the whole idea of being able to understand more than one language or speak more than one language is kind of being taken over by AI and technology. Because at the end of the day, someone like me who never bothered to learn another language can now speak fluently in another language. Because even when it's translating it to me, Gina, when I talk, I hold my phone up to the person and it takes what I say and it puts it into their language. So I literally don't need to learn another language.
I think it could not it I don't know how it's going to work out because It could be like translate, like a lot of languages have different slang terms, right? So I'm not sure if it's going to pick up on that, right? Or they call stuff like for instance, Spanish, it's spoken through many countries, but they have different words for different things as well, right? So like Puerto Rican Spanish, Dominican, Cuban, like they have different words for different things. I've seen videos too. It's quite funny. Like, and same with like Portuguese dialect at the same time. There's different words for different things depending on where you are. So I don't know how it's going to work out with the different dialects.
I mean, I get that, but you could travel to a random country and do okay not being able to speak the language with these earbuds. And the funny part is, Gina, I was talking about this the other day. This is not new technology because I remember a few years ago, I saw an ad on TV for some translation earbuds. They were really expensive though, like $500 or $600. But this is, I guess, when the technology was so new. So now that Apple has it, Apple is selling it substantially cheaper because, a pair of AirPods are like what, $200 or $300. So it's substantially cheaper and it works with your iPhone. And then there's some rumors saying that if you have the latest iPhone version, like the 17 or whatever, or
The iOS.
yeah, the latest iOS, it would work with the Apple AirPod Pros you already have, meaning you don't even have to buy it. So this is kind of going to put a wrench in that market of selling translation earbuds because some people are already by default in, they already have this technology. They just didn't realize it. Once they do their update, they're going to have it. And I think I told you this. I like to, like where I live, there's a strong Spanish community where I live. So I'll go to Publix and I'll sit in line, like trying to check out. And there'll be like a lot of Spanish speakers around me. Every now and then, if I have some time, I'll open up my live translation app on my phone and I'll just see what they're talking about. Just curiosity, because it's just curious. When you hear someone speaking another language, it's always like, I wonder what they're saying. Right. And it's like, I think that it would be fun just to eavesdrop on people that don't think that you can understand. Because I think one time I did hear a lady talking to her friend, telling her that she was sleeping with her husband's brother. And she was worried that he was gonna find out. And it was a really interesting conversation. I was like,
Clearly.
damn, it's my turn. I was so invested in this conversation. Like I wanted to chip in, but I couldn't speak Spanish, so I couldn't chip in. But I was just like, damn, is it my turn already? Now I'm not gonna know what happened. Does he know? Like, what's gonna happen? So yeah, I think that these translation earbuds are gonna be fun. Like, the term people watching? What if we
Yeah.
start using people listening? We just go listen to random people because now we can understand it.
Well, here's the thing. Like I don't consider myself well traveled, but I've traveled quite a bit. And when I've gone to France, basically to Paris, it's one country that I like, but I hate at the same time. They're very stuck up and snobbish, and they don't give you the time of day if you're just speaking in English because they're like stupid tourists, right? But I brought a French language, like a phrase book with me, right? So I'd be like, oh, I didn't use my Google Translate. I was basically speaking to them like in French, like, do you have a menu in English? Like hello, like I'd say hello in French. I'm like, oh, do you have a menu in English? Right. And they found that to be more respectful than you just trying to speak in English and not attempting to speak in French. Right. So they found it more respectful. And I can see it. They were saying, oh, well, they probably were thinking stupid American because they all think people who speak English that don't have an Irish or British accent are American and be like, no, I'm Canadian. But like they like when I was talking to my cousins that live in France, they're like, oh, like make sure you speak a little bit of French so they could have more respect for you. So I just think they're going to be like same thing. Like, oh, stupid person can't even like know how to say hello or thank you in French and they have to use like their earbuds. They're dumb, right? So I kind of say, I kind of think the same thing is going to happen with that.
Mean, you're right. There's no substitution for fluent, right? Like, if you're fluent in the language, there's no substitution for that. You can speak it or you can't, you know? And I guess it does slow down the conversation because one thing I notice when I'm listening to people speak Spanish is they speak so fast. So this is gonna slow down the conversation because you can't have a back and forth real conversation when you're waiting for the translation, right? You're gonna slow it down. It's not gonna be a
Fluent,
yeah,
fluid.
it's not gonna be the same. And I think a lot of fluent people aren't gonna want to have those slow type of conversations. It'll be
No.
What can I do for you? That type of situation. You're not going to make friends. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to build a relationship around these earbuds translating it for you. There's nothing that's going to substitute a real live conversation, right? Like, at the end of the day, as much as we want to use AI for whatever we want to use it for, it's not going to replace a real connection between people. And, translating a different language so you can understand it, that's still not a connection, right? And I think that some people are like, oh, well, this will help a lot of people from like 90 Day Fiance, for instance, who are dating someone. Because we've learned people have gone as far as to go and get engaged to someone whose language they don't speak. And, Gina, that's been really weird for us to wrap our heads around. Because how can you be engaged or ready to be married to someone if you can't even understand what they're saying? And people have done this, right? Like, we've watched it happen on the show multiple times, and they only have like minimal communication skills. And I was like, well, that's probably why they've gotten along so well. They don't know how to say I hate you to each other, right? Like, they don't know how to make that very clear. So, at the end of the day, there's no real substitution for human connection. And as much as we use technology and AI, at the end of the day, human connection is still the same. You need a connection between people. That's how you build relationships and friendships and relation and marriages. So until we can make a substitution for that, which I don't think we can, I don't think that these earbuds are going to change the way humans interact with each other. It just might make it a little easier for you to order a cheeseburger.
I was just going to say it's going to be more helpful, maybe in different contexts. But again, like for instance, this is a really good example. Like, there's so many, obviously, I did the example of Spanish, but there's so many places that speak French, but the French is different from French from France to French from Quebec in Canada, French from Haiti, and like Ivory Coast. There's so many different places that speak French, but it's all different. It's all different. So how is it going to pick up, like, oh, this is Canadian French, or this is Haitian French, or this is, like, I think in Tunisia or whatnot, and I could be wrong, but I like this is this French, or this is that. How is that going to like establish that or
See,
figure it out?
that's really cool that you said that because it's true. Because I grew up in Louisiana. I'm a Creole, and it's so funny because when I go back home or I talk to people or I watch videos of whatever people from Louisiana, there is such a unique way that they talk. It's like a little language. It's like a little accent, and it's funny because I've lost it. I've been gone for too long. But when I go back home, the ironic part is, Gina, when I'm around my friends and family back home, I start speaking that like them again. Like, because I've caught myself, talking in that old Southern Creole accent. Because my entire family still speaks that way. Like, they never really left. And they all talk that way. So it's so funny because it's obviously English, but it's such a different dialect of English, from what I'm used to. Because I lived a lot up north. I've lived in lots of different places. And
Exactly.
when I go back home, it's that distinct New Orleans language that speak that they have. And it's so interesting. So you're right. The earbuds won't know what state you're in and what country you're in to know what the dialect sounds like where you are. So you're right. There's gonna be some gaps to bridge, right? Because like I said, when I go to Louisiana, the way that they talk and the words that they say will mean nothing to you in other states because you wouldn't even know what they're talking about. It's this weird slang that they use. And they do it in Florida too. And in Ohio, there's certain things that they say as well. Different states say different things. So you're right. These earbuds are not going to make the world a better place. But like you said, it'll be easier to order a cheeseburger depending on where you are.
Or wine or beer or whatever your preference is.
So let's talk about touring. There's a few tour concerts and music news stories that we're going to get into. So the first one I want to talk about is Bad Bunny, who is a massive superstar. The funny part is I was just watching Happy Gilmore 2. I was randomly online on my TV streaming and I saw Happy Gilmore 2 was out and I watched it, and Bad Bunny starred in that movie. Like, it was him and Adam Sandler, and he was really good in the movie, like hilarious. He was really funny. And I was just like, okay, I didn't realize that he was a great, amazing actor. He speaks great English, by the way. So he announced that he's not going to be touring in the United States for his latest tour, because this man is massive. He can go on tour anywhere in the world. And but he said he's not going to go on tour in the United States because of the ICE raids, and he doesn't want to put anyone at risk. And I guess what's crazy to me, Gina, is that ICE is showing up to places and just kind of like raiding the places. Because I've seen that they show up to like construction sites, work sites, I think even a hospital where people are working in medical field. They just show up to random places and just start detaining people. And it never even crossed my mind, because I was like, well, Bad Bunny would attract a large amount of, Spanish descent people to his concert. He's basically Michael Jackson. So if he's gonna show up, he would attract a lot of people to one place. And the idea that he's scared to show up here in the US because of that, what the hell is going on? Like, why is this even a thing? Like, and another thing for me is, how are people that are living and working in the US who are, I don't know, they have cars, how do you register a car if you're not supposed to be here? Like, this just adds so many questions to my list, because how is it possible that you're living and working in a country that you're not supposed to be in? Because I don't know, it seems impossible to me. Because if you can't get a driver's license, then how would you get a home or a car? Or like, there's so many questions that I have. So what is even happening that this is even a thing? And do you really think that there's that many illegal people in the US that they have to raid concerts? Because I'm beginning to wonder, how are they making it so long being illegal if they can't even register a car? Like, how are you even able to live somewhere like that?
Well, you can register a car. I don't know if, like how in the States it works. I guess it depends on which state. You can register a car under another family member, a family member or a friend's name, right? As for the driver's license, well, obviously these people, like people are smart enough not to speed, not to drink and drive, not to do anything to cause attention. I didn't want to say these people because it's affecting everybody basically, not just Hispanics. It's everybody. And then
Here,
it's
there.
just really sad, actually. Like when you started talking about it, I'm like, it just breaks my heart because I believe immigration is what made the country, like made each country great. And if it wasn't for immigration, a lot of people wouldn't be who's working. I put it this way, who's working at all the fast food restaurants? All like who's cleaning the houses, who's the housekeepers, who works on the construction sites, who helps build things, who helps stabilizes this like our economies.
Well, it's really interesting to me that for some reason only certain people are being targeted in these raids, right? Because at the end of the day, there's probably a lot of different illegal people here, right? From all different walks of life. Because, if you want to do your geography and your history lesson, there's a lot of countries that are going through it with wars and intolerance and all these different issues where people need to seek asylum. They need to run away. So why is it that only one particular group of people are being targeted? And like you said, these are a very hardworking group of people. They take jobs that typically people don't want, and they do them every day. They show up every day, they do them well, and they build a foundation for a job market for a lot of people, because Americans a lot of times will feel like, oh, well, I won't do a certain type of job, right? They don't want to clean.
That's beneath me. Yeah, exactly.
So these people are, like you said, stabilizing certain job markets. Because at the end of the day, if I'm driving past a Taco Bell and I want a taco, I want a taco. Who, if I won't do that job, or certain people won't do that job, who's going to make my taco? It's like, so now you're saying we don't want, certain types of people here, even though they're contributing positively to society, right? They're
Exactly.
every day, they're doing a job that a lot of people might not want to do, and they're showing up, and they're I believe they're paying taxes, right? Because how else would you be able to work, right? I believe they're paying taxes. But I'm not sure though, because I don't know how this works. It's just really scary though, because it's even affecting concerts, like where people can go to a concert. Like it's safe for them to go to work, but now it's not. Is it safe for them to go to a concert? Now it's not. It's like, and if they've been here for so many years, like why not just make a step in a process for them to become citizens? Because they clearly have, they've clearly integrated into life here, right? And
Exactly.
I know at the end of the day, you're supposed to come over legally, right? You're supposed to do the process. But if somebody has been here for 15, 20 years, they've had kids here, they've built a life here, they clearly are American citizens at this point. Just make a process to where they can make it legal, right? Like, why would you want to uproot them 15, 20 years down the line? Like, technically, America, this is on you. You should have caught it when they first got here, right? Like,
Exactly.
why would you wait until their kids are school age? They are integrating into life, they've made friends, they've built a life here, and then you want to uproot it 10, 15 years down the line. I just think it's really mean, it's really insensitive, and it's hurtful, and it's scary. Imagine you don't even know if it's safe for you to go to work because you don't know if you show up to work, if ICE is going to be there to raid the place. Like, I can't imagine what that's like for people that have been here almost their whole lives, like
Well,
the only country that they really know.
it's funny because my dad was, when these raids started happening in the US, unfortunately, my dad was watching the news. He watches like Portuguese news from Portugal, and they interviewed two families that had to leave the United States. And they've lived in the United States with their like high school college students, like with their high school college kids, I should say. And they had to uproot and leave the United States. And they had houses. They were hardworking citizens. Their kids were born in the United States and whatnot. They had to leave the country. And this is where they planted their roots, was in the United States. It was either because I know for a lot of Portuguese people, there's a high density of them in California and or the Boston, like New Jersey area. So it was either one of those two. And they interviewed two families saying that they had to uproot and leave, like not by choice, by ICE. And it was just really sad because then it's just like my parents are immigrated here to Canada in the 70s. And and again, majority of the people at that time on construction sites were all Hispanic. They still continue to be Hispanic today. I see them all the time. Italian, Portuguese, like the women would work in the cleaning business. Like it all contributes to society. So like it's all jobs that people don't want. Like I would never for the life of me, like you said, I don't want to work at McDonald's. They could be making more money than me, but I'm smelling like no fish burgers, right? Like, and they would, and that was their way of living. And that's like, it was basically instilled in us, work hard, play hard type of thing like that, right? So like, and go to work sick and just instill in us like, oh, this is not the, like, you have to work hard, have to work hard every day for what you want in life. And isn't like you just come here to have a better life for your children and for your future. The whole plan for my parents wasn't to actually set root here. They were going to go back. But then once you start having kids and building foundations and building like friendships and houses and housing and whatnot, then you can't leave. You have your grandkids here, like your kids here and everything like that. You grow up here, then it's different.
It is. It is. Oh, I wanted to bring up this singer, Lizzo. I don't know if you're a fan. I thought some of her music was really good. Okay, so Lizzo, she put out an album, right? I guess she had been trying to break through for many, many years, and then right around COVID, she broke through with her song. Oh my gosh, I can't remember which one it was that broke through, but she had a string of hits after that. And she kind of had a persona where she was all about body positivity. She wanted everyone to feel happy no matter what they look like, no matter what shape or size they were, which I thought was a really good message, right? Like, we should be teaching people to learn to love yourself no matter what, because you shouldn't go to the doctor and the only way you love yourself is if you change something, right? I think at the end of the day, it's a good message to show people that you can love yourself no matter what, because if you don't love you, no one's gonna love you. But So here's the thing. So Lizzo, who preached that, she's now dropped a ton of weight. And it's causing some controversy, Gina, because a lot of people are saying, well, you were saying that, because I have to take it a step further, though, because she did say she enjoyed being bigger. Like she said that she didn't ever want to be thin and she enjoyed, being a bigger girl. And now she has dropped a whole lot of weight, like more than half of herself is gone. So a lot of people are like, well, were you really being honest when you were preaching to everyone that you really loved being a bigger girl? Because now, she's taking pictures and flaunting her weight loss, which I applaud, by the way. I think that you should be able to, do whatever you want with your body. But a lot of people feel like she might have been disingenuous with, her message in the beginning. So how do you feel about that? Do you feel like her losing weight, people are reading into it too much, or do you think that maybe she cashed in on the body empowerment as something to get her music out there? Like, how do you feel?
But you know what? Like, obviously, like, she came out and she was bigger. Yes. And she was a positive role model to everybody, right? LGBTQ, as well as heavier set people and stuff like that. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, if you have health issues, like, she could have been like borderline diabetic, or her doctors might have told her, you need to do something, or you're else you are going to die by this age. You need to take care of your health. And you have to make a lifestyle change at that point. And that's what I think what a lot of people don't get. You don't know. She doesn't have to explain what happened in her personal life if it's health related to the public. So if she's still like losing that weight, and like I was reading on Wikipedia that she's been doing daily fitness routines since January 2024 while continuing to advocate for body positivity. That's awesome. Like, you still have those beliefs because you are heavier set, but now maybe due to health issues or whatnot, or under doctor's advisories, you were told, hey, you need to take care of your life now, or else you're going to get to a point where it's going to be too late, and you can't, like, and you're at a point of no return. So we don't know what happens in her personal life and her personal health life to be so critical of what she was to what she is now.
I mean, I agree. I agree. I mean, I always thought that her message was good. Like, I'm not saying that it was correct. I never wanted people to think, oh, if you are, in an unhealthy place, just love it and that's who you are. Because I was always taught that being overweight, it's not a character trait. It's a temporary situation. Like, that's what I was always taught. Cause I know, Gina, I think I told you there was, my highest weight was 286 pounds. I was very, very overweight years back. And my doctors used to tell me, they were like, this is a temporary health issue that you're dealing with. You have to make changes. Right. And I actually was told by my doctor, if I didn't make any changes, that I wasn't going to make it to 40 years old. I was told.
Exactly. So it could be the same thing with her too. We're not going to pry into her personal health life because that's her personal issue, her personal life,
Right.
right? But
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think she looks great. And I think at the end
me
of
too.
we have to stop linking people's personal appearance to their talents. Because at the end of the day, whether she's big or small, she puts out music that people like, and if she goes on stage, regardless of how much she weighs, she's still the same artist. She still puts out music that people love. And at the end of the day, you can teach body positivity at any size, because there's a lot of bodybuilders or fitness influencers that are preaching body positivity that have never been overweight, or they're not overweight anymore. So I think we have to stop linking, like, only a fat person can tell another fat person, that they should love each other. That's not true, right? Anybody can preach positive health and fitness to others. So I don't know. I thought that it was interesting that people were like, oh, well, she wasn't gonna be, big this whole time, or she wasn't as happy as she told us she was. Because in her music and in her interviews in the beginning, she was like, I love the way I am. I would never change. This is who I am. And that was the only thing about her message that I didn't like, because I was like, this is not who you are specifically. This is who you are now. But, being overweight is a health condition that's temporary. You can change that health condition. Like,
Exactly.
there's some health conditions that are permanent, like certain terminal conditions. There's nothing that you can do to change it. Being overweight is a fully changeable thing. So that was the only thing that I disagreed with when she would do her interviews, because I was like, well, no, this is you now, but you could always, reverse or change it if you wanted to. And because that's how my doctors explained it to me. And I lost, I think, 180 pounds,
Well, that's what happened with me too. I was about 286, two in the 200s, definitely. And I'm now at like 143. I'm still aiming to lose, like, I'm aiming to go to like 135. But that's because I went into the hospital with a pancreas infection. I was there for 5 days. And then this was in 2022. And I had like a gallbladder infection. So I had to get my gallbladder out, and the people in the hospital kept going back and forth whether or not they should take it out, take it out, because at that point in time they're still so backdated from COVID that I'm just like, I'm here, just take it out. I'm here. What is the point of me coming back and having gallbladder attacks like in the future, right? And right in my hospital bed after my surgery, I talked to a nutritionist. They're like, you need to start making some lifestyle changes. And right in my hospital bed, I was already making those changes in the hospital bed while the infection went down. I was like looking at what can I do for meals, like in the future, like with like Chef's Plate or HelloFresh. Like I need healthier options. What can I do? What can I do to improve my lifestyle? And that's what I did. So she could have been doing like same thing could have happened to her. Same thing happened to you. Like obesity is basically a very it shortens one's lifespan. I haven't seen 100 like six my 600-pound life, but we see it all the time with those
Yeah.
people like who've passed away and whatnot. It takes a toll on your body.
Yeah, and my family is predisposed to, so most of the people in my family pass away from a heart attack, high blood pressure, hypertension, heart attacks, most of them. So when my doctor saw my weight, they were like, this is going to put a huge strain on your heart. Because they were like, the heart is the organ that works the hardest when you're overweight. So my doctors were like, since 80% of the people that pass away in your family pass away from a heart attack, he was like, that is definitely the direction that you're going, because your heart is already weak based on, family origin. So he was,
Exactly.
last thing that you need is to put a strain on an already weak heart. And he was like, I don't see you lasting 10 years. He was like, because if a heart is already weak, if you're having it work four times as hard as it should, so yeah, that was what my doctors told me. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy for Lizzo. I think she looks great. I want to hear new music from her. I know that she had some sort of scandal a couple years back, where her background dancers made some allegations about her. And after that, she hasn't really put out any music. So I'm hoping that this is the beginning of her coming back, into the music industry. Because at the end of the day, like I said, whether she's big, small, whatever, her music resonates with a lot of people, and a lot of people found self-esteem and self-worth and self-love through her music. And I think at the end of the day, that's all that really matters, right? As long as she got that message to the right people, that's all that really matters in the end.
Exactly. Exactly.
I
So.
want to talk to you about a very frustrating topic. So, ticket resellers. So, when you're going to a concert, and this has been going on for, oh my God, as long as I,
Years.
right? Decades. So, when your favorite artist goes on tour, they announce their tickets will be on sale at a certain time. And you can go online, you can go on the website, and you can buy your tickets. The biggest problem that we're facing that seems to have no real solution, because we haven't seen a real solution, is ticket resellers. They go and buy up all the tickets. for the con. And the tickets are already expensive. Let's not be ridiculous. The tickets are already expensive as it is, but they go and they buy up all the tickets and then resell them for two, three, four, five times the face amount of the ticket. And for some reason, we've been unable to rectify this solution because a lot of artists say that they're against it. I think Taylor Swift has spoken out against it. And most recently, Ariana Grande went to her Instagram story and said that she's working tirelessly trying to figure out a way to get the tickets in the hands of her fans and not into the hands of resellers. And, it's making it really difficult to get a ticket to a concert. And I think what really is crazy about it is the artist is still only making the face amount of the ticket minus, whatever they have to pay. And the ticket reseller is actually making more than the artist on the ticket, which is insane. And it's like, why can't we have some sort of systematic process in place that stops resellers from buying up all the tickets? Like, what is so difficult that we can't figure out a way to solve this problem? Because so many years, so many concerts, and I think Beyonce's concert, her last tour, I think I was looking online and people were reselling tickets for almost $10,000, Gina. $10,000. Tickets.
It's ridiculous, and Ticketmaster is ridiculous to begin with too. Like basically, like I'm sure if they put the invest the money in their IT team, as soon as you log into the pre-sale, you can log in about 15 to 30 minutes beforehand. I forgot what it was. You can see where the IP address is coming from and be like, okay, like where's this IP address coming from? Oh, it looks like it's a fucking bot. Right, or it looks like it's from who knows where and who knows what. Like, and this concert is for, let's say, LA, but this person lives like in Australia or India, for instance, right? Like, how in the world? Like, no, like you're gonna do a two-factor, we're gonna slow this down for you. You're gonna do a two-factor identification. You're gonna put in your phone number, and just do your due diligence. But Ticketmaster is no angel as well because they have something what's called platinum pricing. So I don't know if you've seen what or heard of what platinum pricing is. So
No, I don't know anything about it.
Ticketmaster has what's called platinum pricing, which they dynamically priced based on high demand and are more expensive than standard tickets. So then them themselves are also being like third party, like whoever it is, like SeatGeek or whatever, like those booking sites as well. It's the same thing. Like, and I've seen it, and it changes in real time. That's the problem, like airline tickets. So looking at Backstreet Boys tickets, and I'm always going to go back to Backstreet Boys tickets. I looked at their prices for their tickets for this platinum pricing. It's not even a reseller, it's Ticketmaster themselves selling tickets for February midday, midweek concert, not even on a weekend, for $1,000.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're basically becoming the resellers too.
I feel like we should be able to put a process in place that says that even if you purchase the ticket, if you go to resell it, you can't sell it for more than what you paid for it. Like, why is that so difficult? Like, if you bought a ticket for $500 and you decide you can't go, and you want to resell the ticket, you can only sell it for what you bought it for. You can't sell it for more. Like, why can't
Or
this be a system put in place? Because it's making it.
resell it on Ticketmaster, like a verified re because t Ticketmaster, if you resell it on Ticketmaster, they take fees out. So if you want to up the price just to cover the cost of those reset, like those resell fees or whatnot, then that's acceptable, right? But when you're doing it, but we don't know how much, because if somebody, let's say, bought the tickets for $1,000 on these platinum pricing tickets through Ticketmaster, they're obviously going to charge, like, they want to sell those tickets at $1,000. And it might sound ridiculous, but that's how much they bought these tickets for on Ticketmaster themselves, not a third party, Ticketmaster themselves.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that it's crazy that there isn't a resolution. And it makes me feel like these companies might be in on it. Because, like you said, when you resell a ticket, they get the company facilitating this gets a fee. So at the end of the day, they're benefiting from this because when you use that site to resell the ticket, that site benefits from you reselling the ticket. So I'm beginning to think that, the resellers and the ticket selling sites are in cahoots with each other, right? Because
Exactly.
they could easily put a system in place that only make sure you can sell the ticket for what you paid for it, not more. And if they really wanted to stop resellers, they could. Like, if you want to stop people from going on your site and buying a $250 ticket and then turn around and selling it for $750, you could put a system in place to stop it. I don't think that they want to. I think at the end of the day, they're getting a fee out of it, so they're benefiting from us.
Everybody's getting money off of it.
Except the artist. Well, I mean, the artist is still getting, I guess, no, I guess the artist is too, because the ticket was still purchased. So the artist is still getting their share. The ticket selling site is getting their share, and then the reseller is getting a cut, right?
Exactly.
And it's like, why can't we cut the reseller out? I don't know. And Ariana Grande is saying the same thing. All the other artists have said it a million times. Taylor Swift has said it too. I want my tickets to go into the hands of my fans, not anybody else. There should be no third party. And I feel very pessimistic on this being solved because, like I said, I think everybody who's making money off of this, they don't want to stop this. And
Exactly.
this sucks though, because there are people who love people's music who just can't afford $800, $900 to go see them. And it sucks because, and the artist never priced them out. It's the reseller that priced them out.
Well, not only that, it's Ticketmaster too, because like I said, it's not only the verified tickets that people are reselling them for, it's also Ticketmaster. If I go right now to look at Ticketmaster for Backstreet Boys tickets, there it's not even verified resellers. It's Ticketmaster themselves that are selling tickets for $1,000.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Exactly. It's insane.
So Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child, she went on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, who's an amazingly funny guy, by the way. And she was asked a question that she tiptoed around for quite a bit, and she seemed a little nervous because, Michelle Williams is a gospel singer, so she's not a liar, right? She's a Christian. She has amazing gospel albums. She has a gospel song with Beyonce. She's a very what's the word? Upstanding citizen. So it seemed like she was really nervous. So he asked her the question: is there truth to the rumors that Act Three? Because Beyonce is putting out Act One, Act Two, Act Three. Act Three will be a Destiny's Child reunion album with all new Destiny's Child music. And Michelle got really, I don't know, she seemed really nervous and off put by the question, as though she was gonna lie but didn't wanna lie. And she kind of tiptoed around the question. So the real thing that we're looking at is this may actually be a thing because don't forget, the last day of the Cowboy Carter tour, she brought Destiny's Child out and they did a melody of Destiny's Child songs on the last day of the Cowboy Carter tour, which was a huge surprise. No one was expecting it. But a lot of people are saying that's not the end of it. They think that Act Three is going to be a reuniting of Destiny's Child and
Well,
come
think about it. Act three, there's three Destiny's Child members, Beyoncé, Michelle, and Kelly.
Well, there's really like 75 members, but
Well,
active members, you're right. There's three. I mean, there's more people that used to be in Destiny's Child than are in Destiny's Child, but we're not going to get into that.
no,
That's
that's
a
a whole other.
conversation. That's a conversation for another day. But right, there's three people. And so that's exciting, right? Because a lot of times the artists that we really want to see are the ones that don't want to get back together. So the idea that we could go to a Destiny's Child concert, the nostalgia in itself is like almost unbearable. Like I've seen Destiny's Child in concert. It brings me back to my teen years. Was I even a teen? Or I'm even younger than that. But I remember seeing them live. They opened for Christina Aguilera, which was funny. They were opening for people. And then I just remember meeting them in person and When I met them, there was more than three people. But I just remember meeting them in person and being in awe. So like the idea that I could go back to that nostalgia would be crazy. I would be the first one in line to get a ticket to see.
Oh, I know. You would be if can you imagine if they did their show on this at the Sphere?
Well, yeah, that's what the talk was. They were like someone like that doing a reuniting. The spirit seems fitting, and it does, right? It definitely seems fitting for such a huge event, like something like that. People from all over the world. Vegas is such a central place. If you were gonna travel for a show, oh my God, Destiny's Child, the reunion. So that's where you would go to Vegas, right? That's
That's your George is like, sign me up. I want those tickets. I'm going to the
right.
Sphere.
How do I get there? You know, like when? So this is really, and the fact that they might actually be recording new music, because that was even beyond what I was asking for. I was just asking for them to get back together and just sing the music they already had. But the idea that they might actually record new music to bring to this, it's like mind-boggling, right? And when we have our favorite groups, like of the 90s and 2000s, for some reason, a lot of them won't get back together. Like for some weird reason, they can't put their differences aside. Like, for instance, Danity Kane, who was a huge part of my childhood, they can't seem to get it together to get all of the original members on one stage and perform for us for a tour. They just can't do it. And, you know, there's other artists like NSYNC. They can't seem to come to an agreement to where they can all get on the stage for a tour. They've done it once, maybe, or twice for like one or two songs, but they can't seem to do it. In O Town, they can't seem to get Ashley to come back. And it's like, I don't know what the deal is with these 90s and 2000s groups where they had such a huge falling out that they can't even get back together for a tour, just one tour, right? You're not asking
That's all you want. One tour. That's
We're
it.
not asking them to move into a house together and live together. We're just asking them to go and do a few shows together every two nights, right? Like, this is all we're really asking. And it seems like no one is really able to commit. So the idea, but I think what's really interesting is with Destiny's Child is there's no real issue between those three women. Kelly, Michelle, and Beyoncé have never had any real drama between the three of them since Beyoncé went solo. Because when Beyoncé went solo, Kelly put out her music solo, Michelle did her own thing. This was very acrimonious, right? Like they definitely didn't have a huge falling out. No, none of them punched each other in the face. So, you know, so it's not shocking that they would do it. A lot of people are like, well, why would Beyoncé do it? She doesn't need them. And that's the whole point. She doesn't need them, but they get along and people love them together. So why not? Right? Like it's
I
not.
always say, give the people what they want.
Well, I think when she saw the reception of reuniting them at the last day of her Cowboy Carter tour and she saw the internet and the way it reacted, she was like, well, wow, I sold those so many tickets to this tour. I did so well on this tour. You know, instead of me recording a new album and doing another tour, I can just get back with my girls and we can do what we used to do, right? Like, because at the end of the day, Beyoncé came from Destiny's Child. I know she's much bigger than that now, but you know, I always have been one that says never stray too far from your roots, right? And always remember where you came from. Like at the end of the day, a lot of artists, Justin Timberlake, they seem to forget their roots and they forget the journey of how they got to where they are. And I think remaining humble is very, very important. And it's like no matter how big you get, you always should remember where you came from and be grateful to the people that helped you get there. Right. And I think that if NSYNC thought that way, then they would have done a reunion tour 20 years ago. Right. Like there's no reason why they haven't done it. Like they did something amazing in history. They made history and they did it in only a few albums, right? Like they weren't even together that long. But you should always go back and revisit that. Cause like Brandy and Monica, they were huge in their times. And you know, they had their massive hit The Boy's Mine and they had their media created
Hello.
feud, right? Their media created feud together. And they were like, well, let's come back together and do a tour. And it's not like they had a lot of music together, but they're going to do their hits individually and then come out and do The Boy Is Mine together. And they're giving people what they want because at the end of the day, Gina, you know, and I know that music has never been the same since the 90s and the 2000s. It's not the same.
It's not the same, and it will never be the same.
And we want to go back to a time when music was better. No offense, you know, no offense to the artists that are out today, but it just was. Music was just better. The message was better. The vocals were better. The performances were better. We had actual music videos. Like, I miss it, and everyone misses it. And we want to go back to that time where music had a deeper meaning. So when artists like Brandy and Monica and Destiny's Child, and you know, the artists that really brought us that culture decide to come back, those tickets fly, right? Like, people really want to go back to a time where you're gonna see a performance. Because no offense, but a lot of these artists, they go out there and whatever they're doing, it's not a performance. They either are lip singing or they're singing live but not great, and they're not performing. They don't give you anything. Like, we want to be given a show, and the artists and that those times, they gave us a show.
Well, it's funny because one of Backstreet Boys' lyrics from the song Everybody, there's a line that says, as long as there'll be music, we'll be coming back again.
Oh, yeah,
So,
I remember that from everybody. And that's true.
yeah.
It's true. Look at how long that they've been together and they made it work. And you know what? I say what I want to say about Backstreet Boys. They've never been my number one. But one thing that I will say about them is whatever differences they may have had, because I'm pretty sure in 30 something years they've had differences, they've never really let those differences get in the way of performing and doing tours and making music. And that's very admirable, because at the end of the day, a lot of these artists, they let their differences get in the way of making money together. And I think that's the worst thing that you can ever do, you know, because at the end of the day, you're doing it because you love it and you make money, and the fans are showing up because they want to see it. And when you let your differences interfere with those results, you know, it's petty and it's sad that as adults, y'all can't figure out a way to get past, you know.
Along,
Right.
yeah.
It's crazy to me. But oh, so I want to talk about, so remember back in the day, there was an artist named Akon. Akon had a song called Locked Up. Well, he had a string of hits, but back in the day, he had a song called Locked Up where it was talking about him being in jail. You remember Akon, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
He was in my time. He was in my time,
Apparently, he's been married since 1996, which is kind of impressive for someone in the music industry. But don't get too excited, because his marriage is now ending. 4 days before his 29th wedding anniversary, his wife filed for divorce. Irreconcilable differences. You know, we're not going to really get a real reason as to why. I can speculate that maybe someone of his stature is probably going to have some, fidelity issues, right? Like,
Oh, well, apparently on Wikipedia it says he's a polygamist.
wait, what? I need to hear more. So wait, how many wives does he have?
I don't know. Hold on. I'll send it to you. Give me a second.
I didn't know that. So this is just one of his wives that are filing for divorce. I didn't know that he was a polygamist. Also, Gina, a polygamy is illegal here. So where does he live? Because in the United States, you can't have more than one wife. That's not, I mean, not legally. I mean, you can have one wife you're married to. And
Oh, three different women.
wait,
And he would,
three women?
yeah, he's got five children, four sons, one daughter with three different women, and that he was married to one of them. As of December 2022, he has nine children in 2023. Oh my God.
Oh, it says he's a Muslim and a teetotaler. I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
But it also says he owns a diamond mine in South Africa and denied existence of blood diamonds. So, oh wow, he owns a diamond mine. So his fortune is not just related to money, but he's got a diamond mine, which I'm pretty sure probably brings in just as much money as music. But yeah, so he's going through a divorce, I guess, from one of his wives. She cited irreconcilable differences. So it just kind of surprised me when I realized that he had been married for so long, because usually when you're in the industry and you're popular and you're a man, it's really difficult to keep a wife, because women don't typically like to be cheated on. So it's usually an issue of, you know, how much can a woman take Because usually when men have a lot of money, have a lot of fame, have a lot of power, fidelity is always an issue, right? Because it's hard to control someone who seems to have it all. So the fact that he had other wives, now I'm really interested in hearing more. So maybe as the divorce proceedings go on, more information about their relationship will come out because I'm really interested in hearing how did she go for so long with three other women in his life? Like, is that something that she was okay with at one point? Also, I want to bring up Neo was recently on TMZ where he said that he and his other, I think he said he had three or four girlfriends. Did you hear about that? And they were all leaving an event together. And I don't know how
I
accurate.
saw the picture of that. I'm like, wait, what is that? I'm like, oh God, it looks like some groupies, and I just didn't even bother to read it.
Yeah, it said that he was out with his three or four girlfriends. And it's like, I don't know, Gina, if your favorite Backstreet Boy or New Kids on the Block member was interested in dating you and a few other girls, how would you feel about that? Is that something that you would want to do?
No.
I mean, I am open to the idea of an open relationship. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm totally open to the idea of it. But there's terms and, there's ground rules or
Yeah,
whatever.
there's terms and conditions because I can't say no to them. So there are
Well,
terms and conditions that do apply, but if it wasn't just an average Joe Smo, you got to be out of your goddamn ass mind.
yeah, but if Brandy or Monica were interested in dating me and a few other guys, I'm open to that. That's my, I thought I was gonna marry Monica when I was a teenage boy. I thought she was gonna be my wife. But so if she DM'd me and wanted to date, but she had a boyfriend already, I'm open to that. There's only a few women in the world that I'll be a side dude to, and Monica or Brandy fall into that category. Also, Ava Max, if she wanted to date, if she wanted to date other people too, that's fine too. But there's only a handful of girls that have that power over me. That I would do something like that.
Exactly. Same with me. Only a select few.
Well, yeah, I'm not really into the. Oh, speaking of relationships, so remember the Coldplay couple? The one that got caught at Coldplay. So apparently, I'm not surprised, but the wife of the husband who was caught at the Coldplay concert is now. Wait, is it? No, wait, the Kristen
The
Cavallari.
HR lady, yeah, the HR lady who got caught at the
Okay, so the
Coldplay
HR
concert.
lady's husband is asking the judge to seal their divorce. So I don't know what they don't want people to know because I kind of feel like we know a lot already. So I don't know what it is that he doesn't want people to know. Maybe like how much he's going to get from everything, but he's asking that the judge seal the divorce so people can't go. Because it'll be a public record. You will be able to read the court document. So that was the latest thing from the couple. But I'm not surprised that they're getting divorced. I mean, you kind of have to at this point when you publicly get caught cheating. So not only does the world know, but your friends and family and everyone that you actually know in real life also knows that they're cheating. I kind of feel like you have to. Like if he got caught cheating and only like one or two people knew about it, then you might be able to work through that, right? Because the whole world doesn't know what was going on in your marriage. But now that the
Exactly.
yeah, now that the whole world knows, you kind of have to get divorced because your friends are always going to be like, I can't believe you stay with that man after he cheated on you publicly. So now you kind of have to. But I guess at the end of the day, I'm not surprised that they have to end it because I feel like that's the only real option. Oh, one more small story before we get into the high school catfish. So there was a guy on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship who owed a bunch of money. A gambling debt. I'm assuming that you can gamble on these cruise ships, Gina. Is that?
Yeah, you can.
Yes, you can
Yep.
gamble on the cruise ship. So he lost a whole bunch of money on the ship, which I don't know how you do that. But he decided that instead of paying the debt, that he was going to jump overboard. And get this, they rescued him. They went in the water and got him so had they he could help be held accountable for the debt, which I think it's so funny. So when they have the do not resuscitate on people at the nursing home, like I thought he was under the impression that he was like they'll never be able to like save me, so now I'm gonna leave and die, and now I won't have to pay this debt. They sent out the Coast Guard, and they saved him. So now he does still owe the debt. So can you imagine? You think that you're going to get out of paying for your debt by committing suicide, and then they go and save you?
Well, the thing is that this guy was rescued. He was brought to shore by someone riding a jet ski, according to CBS News.
Wait, so it was just a random person? I thought they called the Coast Guard. So that's even more random. So can you imagine that some random person thinks that they're saving your life, and you're actually pissed off because you're like, no, leave me down here. Don't, no, I owe these people a whole bunch of money. I don't want to come back. And this person is like, oh, I'm going to save this random person who's drowning. And this whole thing is just insane to me. I didn't realize that you could gamble on a cruise ship. Why would you want to go on a cruise ship and gamble? Isn't a cruise ship like a vacation? Like, I feel like you should just enjoy the free food and drinks and have fun. Why would you gamble?
Knows? Who knows? But it says his name was Jay or J, yeah, Jey Gonzalez Diaz was brought. Oh, let me read the full thing on T from TMZ. Federal officers has arrested Jay Gonzalez Diaz after they say he jumped from a cruise ship into the ocean during a U.S. Customs and Border Protection inspection at the end of the week-long cruise around the Caribbean. Gonzalez Diaz was then brought to shore by someone riding a jet ski. Appears to be surveillance video shows the moment. Jet ski, according to CBS News, and what appears to be surveillance video shows the moment he was pulled out of the water. Quite the getaway.
Wow. Wow. Well, his plan did not work, unfortunately.
No,
Still on the hook.
no, you can't run away from your debt. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess he thought he was going to get out of that, but he didn't. He still owes these people a whole bunch of money. But sorry, your plan didn't work. So there was a weird documentary that it was called Unknown Number, The High School Catfish. And we watched, I think the world watched, most of the world watched it. And I remember years and years ago, this story was making its rounds online. They were like, oh, a teen in high school was being bullied really badly, and they found out it was her mother. And the craziest thing happened. Like, the story went away for years, apparently, because the mother was in prison. But the craziest thing happened. So a documentary pops up online. I think it's on Netflix.
It's
And
on Netflix.
the mother herself was on the documentary. And usually when someone does something awful, there'll be a documentary, but they will absolutely not participate in the making of the documentary because they just don't want the negative publicity or to actually have to take any responsibility or accountability for what they did. But no, Kendra, the woman, the mother actually. And the craziest part is the story was old enough that I didn't remember much about the story because it happened years back. I think 2021, 2022, right? Somewhere around there. And the story disappeared for a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years. I didn't hear anything else about it. No real talk about it since. So as I'm watching the documentary, I had a weird feeling. I was like, I don't know why. I just have a feeling that the mom might be the catfish. I just kept getting that idea. And then when they finally got the records and they saw that the mom was the one texting her daughter, I think her name was Lauren, all of these awful, awful messages, it kind of really, I was like, I know you lying. I was like, the mama?
I heard your voice watching it. I'm like, oh, I know you lying.
I was like, I cannot. And then the fact that she participated in the documentary, because they read some of these messages, and these were the meanest messages. She called her daughter like the worst possible names, even telling
Multiple
her.
things, multiple horrendous things, and telling her to go, kill
Well,
herself.
I've never ever heard any type of story like this. And there's things that you hear that are shocking to you. And unfortunately, in the society we live in now, Gina, there's not very many things that shock you anymore. Like, we're so desensitized to society and crime and things. But this was the one story that really was like, I know you lying. This is not true. There is no way someone's mom would do this. Like, I know this isn't true. And then she came on the documentary and admitted to it, which made it even more crazy. And the idea that she was like going to the police and asking questions and saying how much she wanted to catch herself, It was just, the whole thing just really blew my mind. And I was like, what world do we live in where a mother is saying, oh, you had a flat ass and you ugly and Owen don't love you and he want to be with me. Like the way that she was talking to her daughter made it seem like that she had a real personal issue with her daughter, right? Like that's how you feel, right? Like you felt like she really wanted her daughter's boyfriend. And I was like, is that really what was going on? And then she would lie and say that she had a job and she wasn't going to work. And Gina, how does that work? Like, if you're working or if you are in a two-income household and the husband's working, the wife's working, and somebody stops working, you would automatically instantly see the lack of income coming in, right? Like, because the dad was like, oh, I didn't even know she wasn't really working. I was like, how did you not know that? Like, how would you not know? You should know how much is going into the accounts every month. Like, how do you be so out of touch with your personal finances that you don't know that somebody isn't working? Like, that should be something that you notice.
I don't know it. They're I don't know. They're very, like, I hate to say, redneckish. Like, yeah. So because her daughter at the end, spoiler alert, was just like, "Oh, I love my mom," and like, "I'm gonna smack you." I this is one. No, you are not going to put yourself through that. I don't, like, what is wrong with you, child?
Well, what's that syndrome where you start to love your abuser? I can't remember the name of it. It's not Munchausen. There's like a syndrome where like someone gets kidnapped and then they like start to love their kidnapper. I can't remember the name of it now, but it kind of reminded me of that where, because at the end of the day, the mom had two personalities because the mom was actually really supportive and loving to her, to like to her face. And then the other personality was, you know, the text messaging. So I was like, maybe she doesn't know how to decipher between the two personalities, and she loves the version of her mother that was always kind to her and understanding and loving. And then the other personality of the mom who told her to go off herself, she doesn't know that person. So she can't really make those two personalities one. Because I was like, I don't understand why she, you know, doesn't hold her mother accountable. 'Cause I was like,
Me neither.
as the victim, she should at least hold her mother accountable for what she did. And I'm not saying that she shouldn't have a relationship with her mother. I'm not saying that. But the fact that she never held her mom accountable, I don't know how healthy that is. Because at the
I
end
don't
of
either.
the day, her mom did something awful to her, and there should be consequences. And yes, her mom did go to prison for I think 18 months. But at the end of the day, you know, her mom should have to build trust. And for some reason, for the daughter never, you know, held her accountable, never ended their communication, and never really, I don't know, demanded an apology. You know, because I was like, at the end of the day, you should at least demand an apology and like show that this is not okay and you need to show me that you're sorry. But at the end of the day, the daughter just was like, oh, that's my mom and I love her. And people say that what she did was bad, but it's whatever. I don't care. And I was like, that's even more weird than what your mom did to you. Like the whole story was just weird. Like everything about it was so odd and strange. And it's almost like we were watching a fictional story, right? Isn't that the vibe that you got, Gina? Like this can't be.
Yeah, because I was just like, wait, what? Wait, hold on a second, because I don't remember. I didn't remember the story, but I was just like, wait, hold on, hold on. I'm like, the mother did this? I'm like, oh no. Oh, I was just like, okay, you, and I kind of can tell. And I think when you messaged me after you watched it, I'm like, did you notice in the background? There was some sort of like substance abuse with alcohol, because on the table when the police came in, there was all empty bottles on top of the table,
Well,
like all empty liquor bottles.
we knew that she had a lot of depression because she would admit that I was depressed and I was going through a lot. And I think she was abusing alcohol. But even, I don't know, I don't even know if I can say alcohol is the culprit here because
No, it's not.
even being
Like, by all means.
drunk, that doesn't make you an evil person. Like you can be a drunk
No.
and still function like on a decent level of functionality. This woman had a completely different person that came alive when she became this person texting. Like she was a completely different human being. Like there's
It
more.
was a monster.
Yeah, there was definitely more than one person living in her head. And I don't think that you can blame that on alcohol. I think that that's
No.
much more deep, you know, and rooted. And it makes you wonder why she had such an animosity towards her daughter. That was so weird to me. Like, because, you know, she loved her daughter in one aspect, and then at night or whenever these text messages were going on, these were rooted, angry, hateful things that she and personal, right? She called her daughter a flat ass, and she didn't do like the hatefulness of it was very personal, right? It
It
wasn't
was.
like you're stupid or you're dumb or you're ugly. These were personal attacks that actually meant something. Like she took her daughter's insecurities and she attacked them, which is even, it makes it even worse, right? Because, you know, you could have a bully online that doesn't know you and they'll just say, oh, you're ugly, you're stupid, or I don't like the way you look, I don't like the way you dress. Those aren't personal attacks. That's just something that people say. She took things that she knew her daughter was very insecure about and she exploited those. That's mean.
No, exactly. Like, and teenagers already have a hard enough time with body image and bullying and whatnot. And to get it from your own mother, that no, absolutely, like, just absolutely not. I was just like, oh my God.
I feel
So
like
I'm.
we have hit another all-time low with society. Like every time something happens that's really bad, we're like, oh, we just dropped another notch. You know how you do the limbo or whatever that game,
Yeah.
drop a notch. We just dropped another notch down because now mothers are bullying their own children and telling their own children to unalive themselves and taking zero accountability for it. Because when they asked her, they're like, Kendra, why would you tell your daughter to unalive herself? And she was like, oh, well, I know my daughter. I knew she wouldn't have done it. And I was like, that's not the question, Kendra.
No.
It was why would you even say it
Even
to her?
say it.
Because that wasn't
Exactly.
what they asked you. They didn't ask you whether or not you thought she would do it. They asked you why the hell would you even
Oh,
say
do you
it to her?
say it?
Right?
Exactly.
And the
Exactly.
lack of accountability just blew my mind because she was like, the fact that she was even there, Gina, if you did or you and I did something like that, there ain't no way you gonna get a camera crew in front of me. I would
No.
be so embarrassed and I would feel so horrible for what I did that I would, if I even went in public, I would have a hood and sunglasses on. I would never want to be questioned because what she did was so heinous. The fact that she showed up with a ribbon on so people could ask her questions about it shows that that's a different level of crazy, Gina, right?
That's a different level of cuckoo.
Because she didn't just show up, she told the story like she wasn't the culprit. She was
Exactly.
being interviewed, like, let me tell you what happened to my daughter. Like, you weren't the one that did it.
Exactly. Oh my God. But you know me, I'm always looking for anything new, any on Netflix. So I'm always looking, always on the hunt for anything interesting. And so far I've watched four interesting ones. I don't know if you have the Jussie Smollett one, this other one called
Oh,
Beauty and the Bester.
I'm gonna watch that. I haven't watched it yet. The Jussie Smollett. Yeah, I'm gonna watch.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, but I'm super excited to watch that one because I was very immersed in that storyline. So, with what happened with that and how we found out it wasn't real and stuff. So, yeah, I'm very, very interested in getting to that. I haven't gotten to it yet, though.
So there's Beauty and the Bester. There's the Charlie Sheen one that just came out as well. And another one called Love Con Revenge.
Oh, I saw that one, the Love Con Revenge. I did see that one.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. I was very interested.
Right?
I
So
don't,
we'll talk.
yeah, we'll get into that. I don't want to
No.
get into it today. I don't think we have enough
No.
today. I did see that one. That will be a fun one to discuss because there was multiple stories, multiple victims. That we kind of got into their stories and saw how it affected them, how it affected their families, their personal lives, and the long-term effects of these cons. So yeah, we'll definitely get into that. And I think one of them, the FBI even got involved, which is really interesting. So yeah, we'll talk about that on an upcoming episode. But these documentaries, Gina, it's really getting crazy the things that are happening to unsuspecting people. And a lot of people are saying, oh, well, people need to be more diligent and be more situationally aware of what's going on with them. And, you know, sometimes, like for instance, I don't think that I could have been love conned the way that some people have been love conned. But at the end of the day, you have to realize you can't say that would have never happened to me because it didn't happen to you. And you don't know how you would react to that situation because that situation didn't happen to you. Like, I'm very, what's the word? I'm very aware of things, and I read into things. So when people do and say things, like, I'm an analyzer. I analyze situations, and you know, I have education in psychology. So I look at statements that people make and actions, and I'm forever analyzing people. So I usually can spot things early on. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not, you watch these documentaries, and sometimes these are very educated, well-to-do, smart people that fall into these cons. So at the end of the day, I can't keep saying, well, that never will happen to me because it didn't happen to me. I don't know how I would have reacted because it didn't happen to me. So I don't know.
Right. And I'm very like, oh no, you ain't gonna find no info on me, but I will find everything on you. So, but again, we haven't been in that position to be saying we can say what we want now, like you just finished saying, but at the end of the day, who knows, right? So
Oh yeah, it's so easy for us to be like, oh well, that
I
person.
wouldn't fall for that or whatever. Yeah, I get
Yeah.
it.
It's you think that and then you hear someone telling their story and it's a very smart, educated person that fell into that and it's like,
Crap.
ah, maybe it could have happened to me. You know, at the end of, sometimes people they play on your insecurities or your longing to be loved.
Emotions,
Emotion
yeah.
and you fall for things. So that's, I think that's what's really interesting with the latest slew of documentaries because a lot of times, like I said, you watch them and you're like, oh, look what this dumb person fell for. But at the end of the day, these cons now, they can happen to
They're
anybody.
getting smarter. It's getting smarter. It's not the normal, I'm a prince in Nigeria or I run an oil whatever in Nigeria and I'm trapped and I need money, right? Because we all seen those ones before.
Yeah, those I think no one's falling for that no more, right? Like you know that the princes and of those countries are not looking to borrow money from you. Like we know that's not true, but you know these love cons. I think when people, I think at the point of society now where we're so disconnected, if it's not through political disconnect or through social media disconnect or society disconnect, we're not connected as much as we should be. And I think that they're conning on the idea that people are longing for a human connection. And when they love con people, people are so happy to find a connection with someone that they're not used to having. Because at the end of the day, we're not connected as a society, right? Like we're either disconnected through political discord, we're disconnected through human action, you know.
And religion and whatnot. So, yeah.
Right. And I think that cons, like you said, they're getting smarter and they know the way to get in to infiltrate a person. And they know a way, and it's through love and through attention and time. Because if you think about it, Gina, these cons used to happen exclusively online. There was no real human interaction, no real face-to-face interaction. Now, when we watch these cons, these people are real. They show up. They take you out on dates. You even it could go to their house at one point, and that's
They
a
wine and dine you.
yeah, that's a whole shift. In the way that this used to happen, because it used to happen, you meet someone online, you talk online, you send them a whole bunch of money, and then they delete that account. And that was the extent. But no, now these people are actually showing up to dates, taking you on dates, picking you up, taking you places, going on trips with you, then they con you, right? So I think
Exactly.
the way it happens is a lot different. So yeah, we'll be getting into a little more of the love conning in another episode, because there's a new documentary that we just have to unpack. And so we can talk about how, you know, this is happening to people more frequently and intelligent people, college educated people, well-to-do people, not just a lonely person who is looking for a connection. These are real people that have real jobs, real careers that are falling into these cons. So people have to be aware this could happen to you. Don't automatically go straight to the "that would never happen to me" place, because we're about to unpack some stuff where this could happen to you. So you need to pay more attention, because you might think you're too smart for this to happen to you, but the con artists are getting smarter.
Exactly.
Well, we're gonna wrap this episode of the Pop Culture Podcast on the George Massey Show. I want to thank my co-host Sheena for her amazing insights and input and contribution to the show. And I want to thank everyone for listening and being a part of our fun little conversation. I know that the things happening in the world and our society cannot be fun, and sometimes we have to really struggle to find laughter and peace with a lot of the horrible things that are going on in society. So I'm hoping that we were able to bring you out of that negative space and, just listen and have a fun little conversation where it's not so intense and deep, because lately, we haven't experienced a lot of fun, deep conversation lately because it's been too serious for our liking.
Exactly.
All right, guys, thank you for joining and listening. This has been episode 6 of the Pop Culture Podcast, season 2. I'm George Massey. Thank you, Gina. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Okay, bye.